you don't participate, if you give up, if you just woe is me and nothing else. I have my woe is me too, but I have a lot more than just that. And I would encourage every Christian to have all sorts of, you know, if you're in modern day combat, you know what you have to do if you're in infantry? You have to haul a lot of ammunition and water. If you don't haul the water, you got to find the water. And if you find the water, you got to fight to get the water. This Christian life is much like that.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick continues his message called The Participant as he teaches through 1 John chapter 1.
Iron sharpens iron. We put it on refrigerators, on mugs, on t-shirts. But you know, iron sharpening iron is friction. It's things striking, hard things striking against hard things. The church, the assembly, is to offer fellowship. You are sometimes going to be irritated and challenged and bothered by other people in the fellowship. The best advice I could give is stay grown up when you face those things. Don't go back to being childish. Just deal with them. Accept them. Keep your eyes on Christ. Be blameless and be friends. Now, that's a bit of dating advice at no cost to you. You dating now? Be blameless, be friends, and let the Lord take it from there. Well, he says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. I sure hope we get to verse 4. The we are, again, those with John, the 11, and others. Well, Luke chapter 24, Jesus said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for the Spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Of course, Jesus is saying this after the resurrection, when he appears to them. He's saying, I'm not a phantom. I am real. And Acts chapter 10, verse 41, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So John, again, is saying, we, those who were there, and John knew that the Gnostics knew that John knew that they didn't know. You got that? John knew they were frauds, and he knew they knew that they were frauds. Okay, I got it the first time. Trying to clear it up, it was better the first time. Anyway, hearing, seeing, touching, participating, facts, that's what John has to offer. Death did not interfere with John's relationship with Jesus Christ. It furthered his understanding of the Christ. Well, what does that have to do with me? Well, I can tell you that you can go through things in this life that seems like Christ is dead to you in this sense. He's not talking to you. You don't know. You just sort of left to trust everything you've learned. You're left in a place where you have to rely on your theology, what he put there before. It's like he's packed your field pack to send you across the desert. He says, make it to the other side. I've given you what you need. Because now you're going to be on radio blackout with me. You won't hear from me. You have to now move by faith, not by sight. I had an experience with the Lord. He just let something in my life. I was just so disappointed with him. And I would tell him, I knew where the lines were. I would not blaspheme. I would be respectful, but I let him have it as best as a disciple can let him have it and not sin. And he just said nothing. And it went on and on and on. And eventually, he told me what he was doing. Oh, man, there's nothing like it. It's just, woohoo, yes, okay, I get it. I'll take it again. I'll have another. It makes sense now because that was so bothering me. It was so stupid that God would do this. And then he comes along and he says, I threw you under the bus because you said you were mine and I could do whatever I wanted to do with you and I needed to do that with you, and that's what my father did with me. Yes, I'll take that. Well, you can't get to that place if you don't stay in it. You don't participate. If you give up, if you just, woe is me and nothing else. I have my woe is me too, but I have a lot more than just that. And I would encourage every Christian to have all sorts of, you know, if you're in modern day combat, you know what you have to do if you're in infantry? You have to haul a lot of ammunition and water. If you don't haul the water, you got to find the water. And if you find the water, you got to fight to get the water. This Christian life is much like that. Death, again, strengthened the relationship of Christ and John, as it did with Thomas and all the other ones. Hebrews 10, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Peter, of course, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty and his glory. Well, we have other words to look at, and so we move down to where he now says, which we have looked upon. Interesting, that word, it's a single word in the Greek, looked upon. It's where we get our English word, theater. It means to hold your attention, to hold your sight on. And John is saying, we've held our sight on him. It was not a passing moment. It's a gaze, again, you could say, intently looking. Colossians chapter 1, he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation, first in order, the creator, the image of the invisible God. So God has given to the church her image, the image of the invisible God, Christ, and not the image of some man-made monstrosity or idol figurine or something. We have the invisible God, those who worship God in spirit and in truth. Concerning the word of life, these are passionate words. I can't leave that out. But John is writing this. This is part of his life. There's passion in this. It's not some academic presentation. And you can see that in the words, that which was from the beginning. Regardless if his tone was like my tone or your tone or whoever, this passion in his heart. Peter may be the one who brought this phrase to light. John's gospel, when folks were leaving Christ, they didn't like his sermon. And Jesus said, are you too going to leave to the 12? As it was, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The angel, when the angel came and got the disciples out of jail there in Acts chapter 5, this is what he said to them, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. So when John says concerning the word of life, he's talking about that which makes salvation possible, because the wages of sin is death. But the word of God is life if you would receive it. And that is the gospel. That is where the forgiveness of sins is made available to us. Verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Again, when God made himself visible to mankind, it was Jesus Christ. Called a Christophany in the Old Testament, he is called Jesus Christ in the New Testament. John, again, chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He says here in verse 2, we have seen and bear witness and declare to you. That word declare there in the Greek is witness. That's why we say we're witnesses. We're declaring our relationship with Christ to others. He uses again we, which refers to the speaker and at least one other person, but of course in John's case, more individuals. It is an editorial we that speaks with authority on behalf of his fellow apostles. John 19:35, and he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. Well, why do we come to church and read these passages and study the Word of God? Well, there are many things involved. The first reason is because God tells us to, and we worship him. Paul says you are a deserter if you are not assembling, forsaking the assembly of ourselves, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I don't want to be too hard with that because I know it's tough. The life is difficult. You can have your high ideals and go after these wonderful superlatives from Scripture, and yet life still just throws things at us. And I don't want to clobber anyone, but I'm not going to ignore the Word of God either. That won't help you. That would hurt you. We must face these things. And John, in using this pronoun, we, seven times in four verses, and then he throws in an us just to round it off. And so we have, and I'm not going to read it, I have it here highlighted, but I'm not going to take it. But take the time to count the we's in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, 1 John, that is. So he's telling this audience, I'm not senile. He's an old man at this time. He says, I'm not senile. I am an eyewitness, and I am anointed, by the way. That eternal life he mentions, of course, Jesus is eternal life because he's self-existent and all life is in him. He says, which was with the Father was manifested to us. And there's the us that I mentioned earlier. And so God made visible in the flesh. And this interaction between his humanity, the flesh that he had taken on, flesh and bone, and his deity, his being God, they operated, there's such a parallel, the way they function, you can hardly tell one from the other. Which one is it? Unless you look a little bit closer, and I'll give you some examples. At Jacob's well, I'll give you a well, a boat, and a grave. At the well of Jacob, he was weary from his journey, we're told in John's Gospel chapter 4, and that reveals his humanity, his flesh and bones. I'm tired. And along came a woman from a nearby town, and he asked her for a drink because he was thirsty. Again, that his humanity had come in the flesh. But within minutes, he lays out for her, he replays for her the details of her romantic failures. A complete stranger, and he's laying it out. He says, go tell your husband. He says, oh, I don't have a husband. He's right, you have had five of them. He smites her with things that only God could know. And so there you see his humanity and his deity. Where does one begin? Where does the other end? In Peter's boat, again, he was tired and he went to sleep in the boat. And as he slept, a storm arose on the Sea of Galilee. Galilee is known for that. It's really a lake. It's not a sea. But with all of those ravines and canyons and gullies, the winds just come rushing right down from the valley there and just hits that lake. And instantly, you're rocking all over the place. It can get pretty intense. Well, it did that day for the apostles. There Christ was exhausted and sleeping in the boat, and they wake him up. Master, don't you care that we perish? How many times have I mumbled that to Christ? Reluctantly, but just pressed. And he stands up, and he tells the wind and the waves to behave themselves. And instantly there is calm. So his humanity is sleeping, but his deity is sovereign. And at the grave of his friend Lazarus, John chapter 11, there he groans and he weeps. And we're told that his spirit was troubled at the grieving of all those around. It disturbed him deeply. Evidence of his humanity. Minutes later, he rose Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead for 4 days. He comes back to life. There is his deity. John was there for all of that. And so when he talks about the humanity and the deity of Christ, he knows what he is saying, And it is our message. It's part of our message because people don't know who Christ is. When you go share Christ, do they know who Jesus is? Many of them see Jesus as Jesus of the church or Jesus of Christians. They don't know who he is. It comes to us to introduce them. Now, let me tell you who he is. He is the only begotten Son. He is the only one that has come from the Father. He is equal with the Father. I had a Jewish co-worker tell me once, why should I go to Jesus when I can go right to the Father? Why go to the secretary? I can go to the boss. And I had to lay it out for him. He didn't accept Christ at that time, but seeds were planted. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We declare to you that which we heard and seen. This we declare. And he returns again to that. We heard him, we saw him. He's emphasizing that. But we declare to you, he says, I'm telling my story, like we're supposed to do also. When Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, well, let me ask you, am I the only one that when I was born again, I felt I had to tell everybody about Jesus Christ? Am I the only one? Of course not. It's what we Christians do. We've got to tell somebody. It's too good to sit on. And John is saying that we declare this to you. We're not suppressing the truth. We're not saying, well, we better not let them know who Jesus is. They might not come back. They're saying we're going to let them know who Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit will bring them back if they submit to him. It is not the act of preaching that is powerful. It is the one we preach. When you share Christ, you're just the messenger, the errand boy. When a man steps into the pulpit and shares from the word, he's just an errand boy and should be happy to be so if he is truly submitted to the Lord. True believers will side with the apostles, not with these Johnny-come-latelys. And of course, who would say to John, yeah, well, you might have been there, but I got this one day while I was sitting in the parking lot playing my banjo. And, I mean, you just laugh at something like that until all of a sudden you realize there are people believing this junk. Or, you know, here, put these glasses on. You'll see all sorts of spiritual things. This is lunacy that Satan gets away with on those who find lies more appealing than truth. And so here, John, this lion of the Lord, just preaching like a lion. Or see, that you may also have fellowship with us, he says in verse 3. Well, there's no true fellowship with those who hold views contrary to the Bible, to the apostles. This fellowship, again, this iron sharpening iron, it's not always easy, but you get better at it. Some folks are just awkward around other people more so than others, and well, you don't get a pass. Oh, you're an awkward one, are you? God doesn't say, oh, you don't have to fellowship. It doesn't mean you got to go sit around and be chummy with everybody and be false. It just means that we have to come together at times, like we are right now in the assembly. I mean, I relate to Elijah, the prophet. Elijah wasn't a people guy. He didn't hate people or anything like that. He just didn't mind being by himself, where Elisha was very much a people guy. It's okay both ways, as long as you're being obedient. He says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Not an ordinary relationship. It is a communion, a unity. And why men mock the idea of a personal relationship with God Almighty, as though he can't do that. Well, if he can't do that, he's not God Almighty. But he is Almighty, and he can do that, and I can have a relationship with him, but it will only be through the Christ. Corinthians 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I took the time to memorize that many years ago, and I still have it memorized. And I've recited it to the Lord at times when I didn't feel the fellowship was working too well for me, and he didn't say anything. And get used to it, because he knows what he's doing, and by faith we get to that place where we accept it. I don't really think I'll ever be comfortable with faith. I'm just, I just want everything handed to me. I don't want to fight for anything anymore. And it doesn't work that way. I don't say, you know, Lord, pretty soon I'll be a senior citizen, and I think I should get some perks. And I know what's coming. Well, anyway, this is used to be a benediction of the church, 2 Corinthians 13:14. It used to be one I would say in Sunday mornings because it encapsulates the Trinity. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a benediction. And that part, the communion of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will send you the Comforter, the one who comes beside you, the Paraclete in the Greek. And he will testify. And he won't draw attention to himself. He'll draw attention to me. And this communion is not found anywhere else. And John wants to guard it and make sure that these believers understand it's not a lesser point of Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, of course, the communion and prayer. It is a very big thing. Verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. I've been trying to get full joy since I became a Christian. And where would I be if I wasn't trying? Where would I be if I just gave up and quit? So much has gotten done with half joy, with sometimes no joy, just duty. And what can Satan do against that? And incidentally, I'm really not afraid of Satan. Here's why. I would be afraid to arm wrestle him or even be near him. The reason why is because I know I'm no match for Satan. Therefore, if I have survived him, God must be the one protecting me. And so then why would I be afraid? Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. And when the shield drops, it's for a reason. It's for him to know and for me to find out sometimes. But in all circumstances, the just shall live by faith. What else? What else do we have? You run out of faith, you don't have anything. Job held his faith to the end. And well, until he went to heaven. Anyway, joy, that quality of the spirit, not happiness. Happiness depends on external things. Joy is something that is internal. And joy, unlike any other, because it does not require an outward change. That's the big difference. Happiness needs things to change before it will be happy. But joy says, okay, fine. Those things are going to be the way they are. There's nothing I can do that's out of my control. But what is in my control is, of course, my relation to Christ. Circumstances will be what they will be. Now, I'm simplifying it. When I go through it, it looks more like this. What are you doing? That's what it looks like. But when it's all over, it's like, yeah, baby. I did it. Did my time standing up. And it happens over and I mean, if you're doing things for Christ. Now, if you're just suffering life, you need to get some ministry involved too and really make it exciting. Make it count. So, John chapter 20, verse 21, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you may have life in his name. So you see, John is saying, everything I'm doing and writing to you is about salvation and conversion and staying strong. That's what life is for me, John is saying, and that's what he wants it for others. And he uses the word full. When God lifts us up, well, there's no lack getting to that point. Joy leads to fullness. I'm closing with this in 46 minutes. Joy leads to fullness. Fullness draws fire. And then that should cause us to draw close to God. You want to, if you're pinned down by a machine gun, you got to take the machine gun out. If you're pinning Satan down because you've got a machine gun, he's going to try to take it out. And our response is to draw to God. there is where the fullness is.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.